You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Either that or look at my nipples. What do you prefer?
I probably the ceiling.
Nipple man.
This is how I'm living right now. Folks.
Yeah, no, but you're like giving us. We should start Nipsey just hustle. Like this. This is how we're starting.
You're all right, getting, let's go.
This video looks like I sent you my penis. Please respond. Vibes is what you're giving me.
It's Hunter Biden. I'm doing a Hunter Biden over here.
Oh boy.
He's like a hero to some out there, I hear. So,
well, for people that don't understand this point of reference, I am in a illegal Airbnb, no doubt, because in the materials we were sent, it said, please, under no circumstances, talk to the building manager. If there's a problem, please come to us directly. If you go to the building manager, we will leave you a bad review. So I'm in a building, a sky rise, that is definitely an illegal Airbnb, with five other gentlemen. So I'm in a bedroom, to get privacy, and it's hot. I'm in Brisbane, which is a beautiful city, by the way. If you guys get the opportunity, I would tell you that this is one of the spots in Australia to visit. It is, not the cultural hub that Melbourne is and whatever, but it is, just pleasant. You know what I mean? Remarkably pleasant. So, but it's hot in this room. So these fellas are looking at me from the waist
up. Belly button up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm
like, tune into worst possible timeline for the south of the border experience.
Yeah.
All right. Can we get it back to, come on.
Do the intro.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I am bummed. I'm Tom. Sorry.
Yeah. We're just gonna. Oh, well, let's do the ad reads. Thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Sincerely, yes.
Thank you to Convulse Records.
Honest and truly.
Thank you to Live a Lie.
I mean it.
And thank you to Run for Cover Records.
I think you said that twice. Oh, are we playing games? Okay.
You doubted it.
I did. You're right. Thank you to the almighty Closed Casket Activities.
Said with conviction.
Good job. Let's start with To Live a Lie. Go to toliveali.com. Click into that web store. Guys, I'm going to take the lead on this one because I am, as we speak, placing an order. There are three things that really caught my eye. First, the Blind Solution self-titled cassette. I have not heard this yet, but I heard it is very good. It is members of Sidetracked going for...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Low Threat Profile, No Comment, Poison Idea, Siege, etc. Yeah, I mean, count me in. For those who don't know Sidetracked, long-running Washington State band who is strictly fast, you know, like fast.
Yeah, we should say for our listeners, we've probably talked about this, but it's basically like a man's life project. And it is completely worth checking out, even if you're not into fast hardcore on those grounds alone. You're seeing somebody go through the stages of their life in music. It's awesome.
Yes, fan. And this is just kind of another facet of that. So check that out. One, two, Natural End, self-titled cassette. This is some folks who were in the band Joy, who did an LP with To Live a Lie a few years ago that I would recommend. Fast, kind of blasting hardcore, but with some modern hardcore thrown in. I am very curious about this. I haven't heard it yet, again, but this one piqued my interest. So take a look at that. And the third one is one I actually already have, but not in this format. The Giallo 8-song 7-inch. Minneapolis punk band, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Minneapolis, who is just raging fast. This came out as a really hard to get lathe cut 7-inch. I believe Unpracticed Hatred. Don't crucify me if I got that wrong. But I have that. I think there's like 50 copies or something silly, which I was excited to get. It's really good. I don't think I have the rarest version of it, but I have a good one. Oh no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Practiced Hatred. It was Damien Records. That's right. Shout out to Damien Records, a label people should follow. But here is the 7-inch version, which you can get more widely released, but I think there's still only a few hundred copies. So go get it from To Live a Lie, tolivealie.com. Check it out. Shout out. Woo! Let's go to Troy. Closecasketactivities.com. Closecasketactivities.com. Troy. Twitching tongues.
Where's Pat?
San Fernando Valley. Let's go.
I feel like I talk too much. Like when we do like the, I was trying to give Pat a little, you know, a little shine.
Well, here's all.
I mean, he doesn't talk enough during the episodes, and I feel bad for him, so I wanted to give him some time.
Very considerate. I don't know if you guys saw Dead Body doing North Troy, South Troy shirts.
I saw that.
It was North Troy, South Troy, Van Nuys. Good work.
Yes. By them. Great work for the most. Look, I want to give Troy Core its propers. I'm not taking a thing away from it. It's I think that people that live it and love it would still admit that it is a niche hardcore subgenre.
I mean, they eliminated two of the people that would have bought it because they're in the band.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I love that. It's like, I respect this a lot, is if you're going to do shirts for a show, you know, make them the most local, the most niche, the most, you know. And
it's basically like making a shirt for a book club. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. All right. What are we getting?
So really quick, before we get in. I know Tom's like, can I just talk about hardcore?
I'll just talk about it instead.
Patrick, when did you ever have occasion as an other side of the river fella? When did you ever have occasion to go to Troy?
Okay, so I was actually in Troy all the time because prior to learning that maybe my father's job was not a real job. Mm-hmm. His office was in Troy. So as a kid, I was there all the time, but literally right over the river.
The bridge. There's a little bridge that goes right into the town. Yes. I only went there with my father to do servicing to like some of his coffee customers, and that was it.
I'm trying to think if there was occasionally wrestling in Troy, I want to say. I think I went twice, if that's accurate.
You're an auditorium of some sort?
I'm trying to think. I'm almost 100% sure I saw an aging George the Animal Steel there.
That tracks.
But Troy as a, like a young, as a young man, not very often. I dated a girl in Troy and would go there to see her. And
it would make her come back to Mechanicburg. And yeah.
Bethlehem, thank you. Yeah. And
Bethlehem, not Gloversville. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. This is no Niskayuna. Dated a girl in Troy. And she lived in basically downtown Troy. So that was my first experience really kind of walking around downtown Troy, which if nobody's ever been there is kind of like I don't know if it's worthwhile, but I guess if you're into kind of forgotten cities in some ways.
Last time I was there, I turned the corner. It's like halfway nice now. It's weird.
Yes. Yes. And so, some of them like it, some of them don't. Troy can still be rough. There is no doubt. It's an interesting city, particularly as like it. Now we're just getting nerdy. But if somebody wanted to spend an afternoon going Albany, Schenectady, and Troy,
afternoon well spent. All right. speaking of Troy, closecasketactivities.com.
Even Dying on its breed. Softest day, Troy is going to be gritty as hell. They'll never not be gritty.
If you want to have a nice afternoon.
Yes.
Go have a nice afternoon. Go to Colony. Go hit Cross Gates. Go for a nice walk. Maybe go cruise down Central Avenue. Go to the park. Why not? It'll be nice.
No, you should go to the Pine Barrens, which are some of those boring natural environments in North America,
which only have in the 518 and at the Jersey Shore.
That's correct. Geologically unique. Everybody, go pick up In Love, There Is No Law.
It's, Tom, tell us about this record.
Yes. So it's Jesus fucking Christ, man. Sorry, Justin, Dustin. So it's the 10-year anniversary of the quintessential Twitching Tongues record, In Love, There Is No Law. It's this is called the Twitching Tongues In Love, There Is No Law Redux. It's probably a way to say that in French. That's way nicer. So it's the original LP remastered by Taylor Young. With additional four or five songs that were not released on vinyl elsewhere, including a Carnivore cover, a different version of Preacher Man, 15 songs altogether. It's a double LP. The metallic gold with black X, two words pressing, is already gone. So you got white and clear split and black and clear split with splatter and black, white, and metallic gold mix left. So if you want it, get it soon. They're playing more shows. This record fucking rules. So get at it.
All right.
This is their best record, right?
I would think so. That's my favorite record by a long shot.
Yeah, I think that's probably consensus. I would have to revisit them all, but you know what? The fake live record people go quite crazy for.
Well, it's the greatest hits in a studio. Like, they fully did the Descendants thing and played a fake live show in a studio. It's pretty smart.
Love it. Shout out. CloseGuysGotActivities.com. Go check that out. Guys, normally here's where I say, how you doing? How you feeling? We're going to forego that today, both for brevity and because we're in the heavy world. We're in a heavy world right now. Man, heavy stuff. Where do you go? Minneapolis, there was a shooting at a show, a DIY punk show, DIY venue space. And it's like hard to wrap it around your head. Wrap your head around it. Because if you're listening to this podcast, if you're one of the three hosts on this podcast, you've been to many shows at many different places. And you understand, you know, like there's that air of something could happen. You know, if you've been in a room where there's been a fight or there's tension, conflict, etc., that you can feel it in the air. But a shooting is a different thing. And it's not something that happens every day. And unfortunately, it happens every day at large. But here in our small little bubble, this is a rarity. So our hearts and our thoughts go out to everybody in Minneapolis who's suffering, who was there, who lost someone to this, or who had someone close to them hurt. Because there was, I believe, one fatality and several people injured. Several
injuries, yeah. I mean, you think, it, like you said, like that. This is a place that we've, you know, we might not have been to this particular place, but we've all seen shows, played shows. You know, in the last 6 months, we've all been to a place like this. You know, and you think like, I mean, we're pretty safe here, you know, and everyone should have, especially there were talks that this was more kind of like queer leaning and stuff like that. It's like, for Christ's sake, can there be one space that feels at least safe for people, you know, and you know, it just reading about it, it's like, Jesus Christ, like, it's like, you know, it makes all the stuff, like when you hear about like a Walmart or like you hear like a church, you go, wow, that sucks. But it's like everyone's been to Walmart and when it's like a DIY hardcore show, it's like, not that it makes the other losses any different, but it's like, it makes it even more real because it's like something that you and very few of your friends have experienced. You know what I mean? So it's really heartbreaking to see. And, you know, there's different GoFundMes out there to help some of the folks that were affected. So if you seek those out, we can post about them on the Instagram and stuff like that. And yeah, like Bob said, our thoughts are with everybody in Minneapolis, everyone who's played there. You know, I know some local people that are friends there. So it's like, it's, you know, it touches us all when this sort of stuff happens.
Yeah. And then on the other side of things that are really tragic, and this is something that I think hits, I think all three of us at least know someone who was really directly involved in this, the wildfires in Honolulu, in Hawaii.
Yeah, Maui. Yeah.
On Maui, excuse me. Are devastating. And I don't know. You know what? This is a good question for Patrick. It's a good question for you, Tom. It's a good question for everybody out there. I don't digest news in the way that I used to. There's a lot of reasons for it. You know, throwing some Shelter lyrics here, throwing some Drug Church lyrics here, but it's tough, and I don't particularly like the news. It's rough. Doesn't mean I want to have blinders on, but sometimes things pass you. If you've not followed the situation in Maui, all three of us encourage you to take a look, see what's going on. It's tragic. It's really serious. Tom, you want to go in a little bit more on this?
Sure. There's like, they have a list up of, I think over 500 families lost their homes. It was just like, it was like the perfect storm of like a fire started because it was a dry season. And then there was like wind situations that happened to kind of spread it so quickly. And it was like, there was nothing they could do to like stop from going. And, yeah. So, I mean, I think the, you know, there's a ton of ways to help. People that I know that have family there or from there, like, yeah, we're like, you know, don't give money to like the Red Cross because, you know, you'll give a dollar and 5 cents will go to the actual help and then 95 cents in administrative costs and stuff like that. So don't give to the Red Cross. You can give blood to the Red Cross. Don't give money. But there's ways of like direct support to help different organizations, different families over there that lost literally everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, so yeah, if it's all online, you know, we can share some of that stuff too.
We'll share some of that for sure.
You know, a really, you know, close personal friend of all of ours, families over there lost, you know, thankfully they're all safe, but lost, you know, a bunch of stuff, but you know, their homes and stuff like that. So Connie, we love you. And, yeah, if anyone can help, you know, please do. And if, you know what, if you're from the contiguous United States and have a plan to go to Hawaii, maybe hold off a little bit.
Right. Right.
That's a big thing too. You don't need you taking away from any sort of resource or taking hotel rooms from people that need to somewhere to stay. So,
you know, with that all said, do you guys feel me on that? I don't know how you, we don't talk about this. I don't, and part of it was that some of the inundation of political news over the past, I don't know, about 7 years, maybe even a little more than that, but just made it kind of a bear. And so I it's not that I don't pay attention, but I won't lie and say that things gloss over. And it's the same thing with shootings. There are so many shootings that happen now. When things happen, I don't always hear about it. And that's a weird thing. So there's some willfulness on my side, but then also the way information's dispersed. You know, I don't read a newspaper. I don't watch network TV. You know, I don't watch the news really, you know, and my audio, I don't listen to the radio to get news, you know, like what I hear, sometimes I'll catch stuff on social media, but I don't, you know, is that true for you guys?
I mean, I definitely read some of the news and I try to, you know, go to different places to get, you know, not just one side of the story.
Sure.
I mean, you know, to an extent. It's not like I'm like, well, both sides, like, but like I'll read.
No,
like,
Pat takes care of that, right?
Yeah, right.
Pat, yeah, I got us on that.
Yeah, Pat gives me like the digest version of like, here's what the right wing's saying.
Yes. Subscribe to willactually.blogspot.com.
Right. but a lot of the stuff I find on Twitter and then I look further into it, you know, in a kind of, you know, not in like some weird conspiracy way, but like, if like I'll be like, oh shit, there was a, you know, there was a shootout in Brooklyn. All right, what the fuck happened in Brooklyn? That's what I do. Yeah. Like, you know, I seek it out. It's not like kind of, it used to be as a kid, like, you know, like your family, you know, everyone come home from work or whatever, TV's on during dinner, 6 o'clock sure. News, fucking Channel 4, you know, Sue Simmons sure. Is telling you what happened here and there. I don't do any of that stuff. It's not like I'm going to be like, let me just turn on CNN and see what's happening. But right. I think Right. But I think that's why the whole Twitter thing was such a fucking giant like loss, because it was like, it was the one place you could get like direct news quite often from people. Like, I remember like, as I was at work somewhere, and I remember like when the plane went down in the Hudson.
Right.
And when there was no other news, people were like, yeah, I'm on fucking 12th Avenue, like outside of Chelsea Piers, and like there's a fucking 747 in the Hudson River, and everyone's alive on the wings. I'm like, what right. the fuck? Like, that right. doesn't, like, you know, by this schmuck buying it, it kind of defeats that. And I think, you know, then you're more dependent on the news, which have got, it was just gotten more kind of politicized.
Maybe that's, but honestly, the way you said it, maybe that's good, having to seek it out. Maybe that's good, because it does force a little bit more.
Don't just take like what you read on Fox.
Yeah, no, and it's a good way, because I think there's a lot of people do. Patrick, how do you consume your current events and news?
Breitbart. Yeah, he's got a subscription.
No, there's actually there's a Greek fella, Greek multimillionaire who owns it's like Breitbart on steroids. I forget the name of it. Anyway. No, to be honest, I guess I'm not consuming news at all, because I was not aware of the Minneapolis thing until immediately before this recording.
Which, by the way, hit national news, and you know, it was like a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I cop some.
Well, it's not national for Pat, so I guess it makes sense that you would know that. It's just surprising that you didn't see it. And you know what happens? You know what? I bet you what it was, because this is what, there were no pretty pictures with it. So Pat saw the words that everyone reposted from Felix Havoc from Code 13 and from Minnesota, and he was just like, nope. Like, it just went by. It's like, you know, like TLRDR, you know, TLDR.
No pictures, sorry, no me likey. Yeah.
No, listen, I haven't heard a thing from Felix Havoc in a long time. I would be interested in anything Felix Havoc.
It wasn't clearly tweeted. Felix Havoc writing it, but if it would have had like an interesting bird behind it, you'd probably
read. Yeah, I'd be more likely for sure. Yeah. I was not aware of it, and honestly, I was not aware of the severity of the Maui thing until yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, so. Again, I'll cop some pleas in the respect that I've been traveling, but I should still be slightly more aware. I mean, I do have Twitter. I should.
And you have a phone.
Yeah. You know, what's weird though is like, I gave up on the news outlets that I would typically go to. I used to go to just bbc.com .co.uk or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty much every day. And, their reporting, in my view, has become kind of almost American style partisan, and I'm not interested in that. You know what I mean? So it's like, I, in my efforts to find news that's, sectarian almost in its approach, I guess I've just abandoned news and I'm now an ignoramus.
That's okay.
You ready to move back to New York then?
Like everybody else there.
Man, Tom. I wanted to ask you really quick before we get into our normal shenanigans.
Why not?
Is there any good reasons for Patrick to move back coming soon? Anything like interesting happening?
To New York, to like America, the United States of America in general?
Well, like New York City. Like, is there anything, like any sort of an event or something that might make him want to go to New York City?
I mean, I know of an event that I'm going to in New York City. Oh, that was a good, you know what? I'm not even thinking what you put. I wasn't picking up what you were putting down. That was smart, because I was going to go into the side-by-side show.
Oh, well, let's
we can talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, sounds good. Good tease.
So we have a ticket giveaway. We have two sets of tickets. You can email A2G. So it's A, numerical 2, G, pitreport@gmail.com if you want to go to this. It's Saturday, August 27th, 2023, in the year of our Lord, at the Knockdown Center in Queens, New York. It's right on the border of Brooklyn and Queens.
Mm.
Regulate, Pain of Truth, Outburst. Well, actually, it's Regulate, Outburst, then Pain of Truth. Mm. Sick of It All, Life of Agony. River Runs Red 30th Anniversary World Tour is happening at Knockdown Center. Again, it's August 27th, 2023, in the main space. We have two sets of tickets to give away. If that is something you'd be interested in and you'll be in town, hit up a2gpitreport@gmail.com and we will make it happen for you.
What's that date again?
August 27th. It's a
August
Saturday.
27th. That's coming up. August 27th.
Oh, it's a Sunday. Don't listen to me. It's a Sunday.
August 27th, a Sunday. Email a2gpitreport@gmail.com. Boom. Cool. Yo, Side by Side's playing a show in New York City with Infest. Shit. Who else is on that? Firewalker.
And Dead Last.
Ooh. Shout out. December. Exciting.
December 9th.
Hell yeah. A little birthday present. Enjoy.
I can't believe Side by Side.
Yeah. Awesome. The world is weird, and that makes me very excited. I had a group chat with some of my closest old buddies. We're like 25 years deep now. And it was a group chat to talk strictly about going to the Side by Side show. So,
and Infest, what a weird fucking main support band, but I'm into that too.
Yeah. No, that's just really a treat for people that like hardcore music. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good one too, right there. Tom, is the show that you just promoted about as New York as it gets?
Oh yeah. Are you kidding? And I think they did a cool job putting that together.
So do I. And another question is, you know, the Sick of It All fellas.
Yes, I do.
Is there any chance that my constant slurping in all press for the last 5 years has gotten back to them in any way?
I would imagine so, yes.
Okay. All
right. Do you want me to do – have you ever met Lou?
Just in passing.
Are we going to make this happen? I'm going to have like a meet and greet so you can meet him.
Very good.
You train Cavaricci's or whatever, yeah.
I did another like website interview or whatever, and I'm always like, yeah, I really give all the credit to Sick of It All, and it occurred to me, I've said that like probably 40 times because it's just it's rough when you do interviews and you like, if you're saying a true thing, you kind of can't change it. You know what I mean? To make it more interesting for,
right. You gotta be Derek Jeter, just be real boring, have canned answers that are just like not, you know.
Well, I try not to do that, and I try to almost get myself in trouble because that's what websites really like. You know what I mean?
You got to give them a lead. You got to give them the lead.
Yeah. So I try to almost get myself in trouble. But when they ask about influences and things that like made a difference to me, I always mention Sick of It All. So I'm curious if – that is my Derek Jeter answer, by the way. But if it's ever gotten back to them or – like,
next time I see them, I'll ask. Be like, do you know this band Drug Church? And I'll be like, what?
Yeah, right. Go, well,
Murder Church.
Yeah, respectfully.
You guys played respectfully, together.
We have in the past, but I don't think they were, you know. But
Punk Rock Bowling. But,
Punk Rock Bowling, and like, we played together in Austin.
Okay. But I thought you were like two bands before the Punk Rock Bowling. It was like a real show. It wasn't like,
yeah, that,
I was on stage D or whatever the fuck, you know.
No, that's true. We did play the same stage. But yeah, I just respectfully, and I don't mean anything by this, I just, the way it's been depicted to me is that a couple fellas in the band kind of inhabit their own worlds and may not be fully aware of what I'm doing out here. But all right. Can we, you know, I got a topic today, fellas. Is this something we could talk about here?
Let's hear it. What do you got?
We're going to talk about that, the redhead country singer. That's an industry plant.
Well, I've got something for both of you because the Bay Area. Bands from the Bay, bands in the Bay. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Please.
Band that we're all familiar with. Okay. Played a show in the Bay Area the other day.
I'm in so far.
And Golden State Warriors superstar Stephen Curry.
Yes.
Came up and sang part of a song with them. Does that make Paramore industry plants?
I mean, they've been industry plants since day one. Yes.
yes, I was really hoping we could spend a lot of time. Tom, what did you think of the Steph Curry singing with Paramore?
Number one, I realized, man, he ain't that tall.
He's like 6'5", but like, I'm going to be honest. Is he though? I don't think so. I'll send a picture. When I was at that Nuggets game a few months back, I was standing in front of the Jamal Murray photo, and he's 6'4". Like the measure yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that picture. Yeah.
I'm taller than that MFR. Yeah. So I just want to say that some of these heights, just like some of y'all, they exaggerate their heights too.
Yeah. Because I feel like when he was next to normal human beings, he didn't look like I've seen Patrick Ewing up like next to, and I'm like, that's a huge human being. That is a giant person. This guy like next to like Haley and like her bandmates, I'm like, this dude's like tall, but not like what the fuck. He can't sing. No. Thank God he can shoot because he cannot sing.
But respect. If he went for the whole tour, if he did a whole tour with them, I am 15% more likely to go.
I mean, that dude has sold out. That dude sells out that arena 41 times a year.
Well, that's my question, Patrick. Who's the headliner, Paramore or Steph Curry doing like shot tricks where he's like shooting from like the 15th row concession booth?
I'd rather watch Steph Curry bring his garbage out at the end of the night than watch Paramore. So
you're currently in the range where these kind of comments are like actually hurting your band, just so you know.
Yeah, but I can't fake the funk on this one. I just don't like, that's not music I connect with.
That's nicer than saying like, I'd rather watch Steph Curry throw out garbage.
Okay, someone who does like a lot of your music and who you'll occasionally ask, like, hey, what is the best Incubus record? Paramore's got solid albums.
Okay. Thank you, though, Pat. Thank you for that. I keep my ringtone on because I have an elderly mom and like a family that I worry about. I appreciate you texting me at 2 a.m. is like, what's the Incubus record? Knowing that Bob's like going to get like up in like 4 hours because he's got children. Yeah. And I'm getting up for work, but this asshole is being like, what's the big Incubus record?
Let me see that. Yeah, let me see.
I wanted to knock you the fuck out.
Well, listen, my
question, honestly.
My band, I don't have an opinion. My bandmates were watching like Incubus through the years on YouTube. And there was some debate in the room on what the big Incubus record was. And I realized I did not know, but I said, I've got an Incubus guy.
Yeah. Pat Kinlan, 1:31 a.m. What's the best Incubus record? Bob Shedd, 6:04 a.m. Yeah. Morning View. Make yourself as the other one in the convo.
Yeah, the Morning View is the big one. See, Make Yourself has a couple singles. Make Yourself has a couple really good singles.
Pardon Me, Wish You Were Here.
But Morning View is where they were huge, because then after that it tips off. And I mean, like I've admitted, I think a Crow Left of the Murder is really good. But there's no Anomaly. There's no Pardon Me. There's no Wish You Were Here. Like there's, you know.
Well, let me
play Asbury, Bob.
I can't believe I didn't go. That was probably a super fun show. Like, let me tell you a little secret. The Jersey Shore loves some Incubus.
Oh,
no doubt.
I bet there was moshing at the show. I bet there was
guaranteed. Moshing, like, and they did some of the wick, 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 like those songs. Yeah. And I bet you people, the Twizzy songs, people got real weird.
I'm diving. Yeah, let's go. All right.
Hold on. Let me clean up my Paramore thing.
Yeah. your bandmates just heard you intrinsically. They're like, don't get us kicked off this tour.
Yeah.
With this guy.
For what it's worth, my bandmates wanted to do a Jason Fest because they enjoy Paramore. Like they are actively Paramore fans. This is me saying I don't understand that type of music. But you are correct. Even though Paramore is not likely to ask us out, I should be more measured in my, I'd rather watch Steph Curry. Although I would like you guys to be honest. If Steph Curry threw his garbage out from 30 feet away, you would definitely love to watch it.
Tom, did you see the highlights of Steph at one of those golf things hitting wild putts? Like eagle putts, like where Patrick, he is hitting the golf ball. He's probably, I don't know, 30 feet, something like that away from the cup. And he hits it and you're like, oh, there's no way. That's not going to curve in. And then you see it start doing the slow curve. Like, I'm not Jimmy Golf, but it's just impressive. You're like, damn, is there anything this dude can't do? Yeah, I mean, let me just – yes. I don't need to
be – He's Marvel Comics villain Bullseye.
Oh, good comp. Well, that episode's coming soon. Yeah, it's Steph. It's Steph. The Paramore thing, I want to say this because I – assure you're not alone in this. Tom, co-sign me on this. Paramore finds themselves somewhere in between pop punk and post-hardcore, and then sometimes going more into some alt rock and this and that, whatever, whatever. But I think if you're a fan of post-hardcore in general, and I say this to people in my age range, in my ear range, you might be able to enjoy some of it. Is there some corn? Sure, of course. Yeah. But I'm going to be straight. I've liked the records from pretty early on, and I've always been like, well, this band's cool. So if you haven't given it a try, and you have the willingness to open ears for it, give it a shot. I'm not mad at people who aren't. I get it. It's a different boat, but I you will rarely hear me say that about many things, and I think they're pretty good. So,
I agree.
What else? Oh yeah, industry plant music.
Okay, let's talk. Let's give.
As we transition from talking glowingly about Incubus and Paramore to let's talk about industry plants.
First, let's give credit where credit is due. I say this, it's going to sound like I'm shitting. I'm not shitting. I'm saying something really positive. I would like
to say that it's not going to sound positive.
I would like to thank Hardcore Internet for being so dumb that you give us topics.
We will never end this podcast because one of you idiots are always going to find something to fucking argue about and be like, yep.
So let's talk about it. Here's my first thought. I'm flattered that you think hardcore is profitable enough that we would have industry plants. First, let's talk about it. Okay. Kat from the band Scowl, yep. Put out a little statement saying, being kind of like open-hearted about a thing. I thought too open-hearted, if you'd like my personal opinion. I think it's nice to be straightforward with your audience, but I also think that you can't allow certain people to know what bothers you. You know what I mean? So
right, you can't show these assholes like the soft parts.
Right.
And people are mean and cynical and shitty.
Exactly. So I thought maybe too open-hearted. Now I have a bias because I've done tours with Scowl and I know them as people. So let me establish that bias in that, or what you might call not bias, but I'm actually informed. You know what
I mean? You've experienced them in person and you've talked to music.
So, right. So I don't know if they'd appreciate me saying this, but I think it's obvious, so I don't need to. They are younger than me.
and they are
on the internet. They actually, like, people tell me things that are said about me on Reddit, but I've never read it. You know what I mean? I got kicked off, or I got laughed off of Reddit recently for asking if I could borrow somebody's sheep in Perth, and I got completely clowned off of.
You really do need to get invested in local Reddit, like weird stuff like that. Well, are you trying to mow a lawn or something? What are you doing?
No, I was like, yo, I've got a sheepdog that just like all he wants to do is herd these other animals. And I was like, can I borrow somebody's sheep? I'll just pay you $50. And everybody was like, firstly, I didn't know how rough. I've only seen videos of dogs from overhead with like little drone footage, and I'm always like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know that they bite them.
Why do you think they keep running?
Well, I would be scared of a dog running at me, I guess, but here's my point. I didn't know that it was a rough process. So, but everybody else on planet Earth did. So everybody in this fucking Reddit was like, hey, are you the dumbest person that's ever lived? Why could you not post here anymore? You're really stupid. And I was like, I didn't understand what was going on. I thought, and then my girlfriend's like, that shit's not even vegan. You know what I mean? I was like, I thought they just ran around in circles.
You're an urban.
I grew up in the inner city part of Brooklyn, right, and I knew that, like, these dogs, because I've had those dogs like snap at my feet and at my ankles and to make me, like, you know what I mean? So, because cows and stuff are like just, they just want to play with these little 10-pound fucking sheepdogs, whatever the fuck. Pat, man.
Listen.
You're American is showing.
I want to say, you know, maybe Latham was just a little more rural than Bethlehem, but wouldn't the right approach be, hey, I have a sheepdog who would like to be do some herding.
Does anyone need?
Can I bring him to you? Do you have a sheepdog, an older sheepdog? Because I think they actually can learn from each other if they work together. So that was the approach. And I'm like, what are you doing, brother?
Well,
you got to join the 4-H or something. Like, what are we doing?
I watched videos, and I can't, in good conscience.
you're no longer a part of this.
Yes, I'm no longer a part of this. But yes, that's my experience on Reddit. Also, I asked, hey, where can I find a salad bar? And a bunch of Australians said, ew, that's disgusting. That's disease ridden. So I'm out on Reddit. But
we're talking industry plant.
Pat has the
non-troversy. Yeah, we got to get some like branded music, non-troversy, like boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
This is just to say,
like, to wrap them up.
This is just to say, Scowl looks at fucking Reddit and Twitter and bullshit like that, and they haven't learned. They haven't gone to AA and learned that other people's opinion of you is none of your business. You know what I mean?
I'm going to throw some out there. I'm going to throw them some bail.
Hit me.
They're young, clearly, but they're also a new band. If you're telling me that the first time, you know, early on, the first couple of records that you released in,
that's a good point,
very early aughts, whether it be looking on the fucking Rev board or looking into every fucking fanzine that existed,
you're right.
See what people were saying about you. That's like, you're a fucking redacted amount of old man.
Yeah.
That 29 like, you go, and I don't give a shit. Like that, you know, like some fucking 19-year-old doesn't like my band. Like, you don't care. But like, if you're a 25, I'm guessing, if you're a 25-year-old and this is like your first foray into music, and like, let's be realistic, they're like critical, you know, darlings. You're going to like, I mean, who the fuck doesn't want that shot of adrenaline that you're like, when you read everything nice about you, like, and then by seeking that out, you're going to see the fucking shitheads that probably haven't heard a note.
Well, there's a lot of masochists who are curious about it and want to see the good and the bad until you see the bad and see that people are truly assholes. All right, let's cut right to the quick, because there's a lot to talk about on this and there's a lot I want to say about it. And I think I'm going to just kind of, honestly, I want to be full transparency. There's a part of me that was like, yo, we might need to go to Patreon than this, because I want to speak hard on this. I think it's really some wild shit. There's two sides to the conversation, because I want to acknowledge they are a band who is on a Taco Bell thing.
Yeah.
Does that cop with every single person's like green check box of hardcore? No. And it's fine that it doesn't. It's okay. It's good. It's good that it doesn't. And it's if you think that is fucking anti-hardcore and you reject that, bless up. Do you? I'm happy to have that conversation too. But let's rewind a bit and also say, okay, so then the Taco Bell thing. What standard are we crossing them with? How are we judging them on this? Whatever. Who's counting their paycheck? Like, what are we doing? You know, like, I just want to say, I don't know any background on it. I know one of the folks who plays in Scowl. Shout out, Mikey. I love you. I met a couple of the others in passing. So this is nothing. I don't have any personal stake here. I'm saying this as someone who observes the band, sees it, curious, interested, whatever. I'll also set this out. I think their earlier material is fine to okay. It's not something I'm ever putting on just because stylistically it's nothing for me. But that said, I'm not putting that out there because some of that earlier material, their more hardcore stuff, is special music for some people. Like special music from when I was like 20 from some certain place was really important and foundational and fundamental and blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. I would say it's almost inarguable that their current music is doing something different. It's turning. It's doing something different. You can talk all day you want musically and say, is this hardcore? Is this not hardcore? Blah, blah, blah. I'm happy to have that conversation. I'd like to have it on this show in some way. But when you start throwing out stuff like industry plants and da, 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 like either you're using the term wrong.
Yeah.
or you're trying to couch a different opinion.
That's right.
In it. Right. And that's just like, okay, like let's play it straight. So
right, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
Right. Here's what Bob, tell me if I'm wrong. These were going to be the next words out of your mouth. Here's what many people actually mean when they're accusing Scowl of being industry plants. What they actually mean is, I believe that the look of this band is giving them opportunities that my band is not getting. And I think that people are reticent to say that out loud because it makes them look like misogynists, or it's an accusation that could be leveled against them.
I think that's only one angle. Yeah.
So I think they are not going to say that and instead express kind of that disdain for this band through a safer lens, a safer filter. And I need to make this clear to our listeners. The bands that have what you might call in 2023, like some level of diversity, et cetera, we do them a disservice by talking about them like they're stupid, which is something that people on the internet do. These bands are not stupid. They're organically formed bands. Like if it's a band of all black dudes, or it's a band of women, or it's a band of whatever, these are organically formed bands that know that they are getting opportunities often for these reasons. It is, however, this has been stated to me by someone in one of these kind of like very poppin' bands at the moment. He goes, yeah, look, what hardcore band gets asked to do indie shows and metal shows the same weekend, is allowed to do that by promoters in the same city and from bands that we know have never heard of us? And it's like, yo, these aren't stupid people, but in life, most people take the opportunities that are presented to them. And if you are a band, the opportunities that are presented to you are, hey, do you want to play music? There may or may not be money in it. Do you want to play music? And you go, yeah, I would. Thanks for the show. And there is an argument. Like, certainly I'm in a band that has turned down opportunities because we felt that we were getting those offers simply because we had women in the band, and the women in the band said, we're good. That's one approach. But if you are a younger band and you are getting thrown shows, you do not care why those shows are getting thrown to you. You want to play music, and that is how it is. And when we talk about specifically Scowl,
yeah,
I'm gonna say the thing that maybe some of you need to get through your heads. The things people say about Kat online, like she's an e-girl. Firstly, I'm too young to even really know or too old to really know what the fuck that is. But okay, so she's got a look, is what that means, right?
Okay.
Look, everybody, the girl likes green hair and boots. There's not shit to be done about that. like what are we gonna do? We're gonna put her in an oversized fucking Madball shirt.
Right. Give her the 2X Rollins band shirt and let's move it on. Yeah. Right. Like, what are we talking about? Like, so I think everything you said hit some notes, and I think, man, how do I, Tom and Patrick, but Tom, let's go to you. You've seen the positives and you've seen success with your bands in a lot of different ways. And you've also suffered through some times where you're like, man, would love to get a nice offer to go tour with a larger band, right?
Sure.
So I think back to a band who did not get universal love, but got quite a bit of love, 10-ish years ago, a little more than that, and really was popping, who I knew and were like, hey, we hit a certain point where we were kind of this, and this scene in hardcore, like a micro genre niche, but we got asked to do stuff that was outside of that. And so we collectively as a band said, well, do we want to do that? Yeah, like that's why. Does anyone in this band not want to do that for a reason? No. Is it a good idea? Well, the only reason we wouldn't do it is because said micro genre might see it as some sort of betrayal. Like, oh my God, you're doing that, right?
I mean, that's a good reason to do a thing. You know what I mean?
They came to the point where they're like, that is really dumb. And if that is our holdback, why are we even doing this band? And then took a much more, and I think holistic, healthy view. And I want to hear from you guys as actually dudes who've been in bands of going, you know what? Why don't we, the people, the individuals in this band agree if we think this would be fun or good or something we want to do for whatever reason that we'll do it. And we, you know, opinions of others be damned outside of this group. And yo, I have to say this, they found a very significant level of success. And I think they felt more creative, more ambitious, more rewards, and more excited about the things they were doing. And it felt more true to themselves. And I don't know. I see that. And I think it'll go to some other things, but I want to, Tom, like, does that make sense to you? Like limiting yourself based on the opinions of others? Like,
that's something that we've done. I've experienced it firsthand. It's fucking stupid. And like in retrospect, I'm like, really?
Right.
You know, I personally with our bands, like we've done stuff. We made decisions based on like, got to keep it fucking DIY, man. It's like, well, you know what? Life would probably have been a lot different in the ensuing years had we, you know.
And maybe it would be significantly, or maybe it would have just been a little thing. It'd be like, oh yeah, remember when we got to tour Japan because X happened and then Y happened and then Z happened? Awesome, right?
Right. And that's all. I mean, I think, you know, limiting yourself just to, I mean, there's ways to do it. And I think like my whole thing is like, you know, there have been industry plants. I mean, Pat's like kind of like not hardcore. I've known bands that have like put a record out on a hardcore label first.
Yeah. Well,
establish street credibility. They're still around. And guess what? They play like arenas a lot of places. So it might've worked, but like they had a major label contract in the hand.
Right.
And they're like, we're going to put it out, this first record out on this, like, I mean, very big.
Yeah. And I would also argue, not a hardcore band by any stretch, but I understand. I take your point. It was on a hardcore.
When that era of band were all hardcore band, like when it was all like, when it was a Killswitch Engage, when it was like all hardcore kids playing metalcore or like Shadows Fall or all these bands, all the bands, you know, Lamb of God, like fucking Randy Blythe is a fucking punk dude. Like it's like in a big metal band, like to have that kind of like punk and hardcore background was a selling point.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
So like you could have put your first record out on Jive and you probably would have been like a metal band that nobody gave a shit about. You put that first record out on like a big metalcore label and then the next record on Jive. And now 20 years later, they still have a fucking big career.
Yeah.
So like that's obviously not no like fucking scout and go like, all right, we're gonna put this thing out on Flatspot. And then Warner Brothers is gonna give us some like we have this $1 million Warner Brothers contract, but we're gonna get the street cred of like playing with Off.
Right.
No, and
right.
Then the next tour, it's going to be, you know, we're open for Taylor Swift on the next fucking run. Like, that's not the fucking point. Like, that's not what they were going for.
No,
and they availed themselves of opportunities that were handed to them that, you know what, that most people in their age range didn't blink an eye at and would have taken themselves. If you're complaining about, like, the stuff that scowled, you're just showing that your birthday has, like, it starts in the 8.
Yeah, your birthday starts with a 1-9.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is, because it's like, you know, a 25-year-old punk kid is not going to be like, I can't believe they fuck, like, yeah, who the fuck doesn't like Taco Bell? And guess what? Like, you know, people, you know, would kind of come up, it's like, you know, Civ sold the fucking, you could buy, like, an Acura while listening to fucking Civ song, or, like, you know, Feed the Beat. Like, people, I mean, like, I'm gonna add somebody right now.
Oh,
this motherfucker on the podcast with us. We're looking at his ceiling because he's probably Donald Ducking it right now.
No question.
I watch that dude get a fucking stack of Taco Bell gift cards.
Yeah, how many I put in my pocket?
I mean, 95. I mean, you carry the band, so you deserve it. But
but I mean, I gave my portion to the other members, but.
You know what I mean, though, but I think, like, it's out there. Like, people have always kind of been sponsored. And punk and hardcore in the beginning were fucking playing giant venues. Like, it wasn't like – we didn't start in basements and then grow.
We forget this.
Kennedys were playing, like, a fucking – you know, the Olympic Center or whatever in L.A. where it's like, oh, there's, like, 4,000 people here or 5,000. Well,
and conceptually, there's this interesting conversation that I think is fun. I think this is fun – fucking academic conversation. If you trace these roots all the way back and go, like, okay, the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, whatever, they weren't trying, they didn't have some DIY ethos, you know what I mean?
No.
Even leading up, like, in reality, a lot of the DIY stuff was purely out of necessity until, and, you know, you'll hear different accounts of this, but the DC dudes, the Discord stuff really made it like, hey, no, we're not just doing this because we need to, even though we do. We're acknowledging, like, if we weren't making fanzines, if we weren't putting on shows, if we weren't putting out our records, no one else would. But they also said, but by the way, we're doing this because this is what we think is the way it should be done. Yo,
yeah, right. Listen,
and they have the
and I'm going to say this. I've subscribed to that ideology and think it's cool, but I will also tell you this, it begs a much larger question. Yo, I did a DIY punk label, which I ran like a DIY punk. I gave the bands a ton of copies of the records. I didn't want to charge a lot. I did Yo, when I slowed down putting out records, Rev was helping me pay for them, which meant they fronted, but I owed money to Revelation, like, a lot. Like, they're like, hey, you know, Collapse owes us, insert 5-figure number here. I was like, oh shit, I guess the Mugray 7-inch didn't really move units, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, that Soul Swallower EP people really liked, but you know, but that's to say, you have to have means for that. Not everybody does. And so then you go, okay, well, what are these sets of rules and why are they there? And do you subscribe? Do you think that's the way, or even better question, the only way? And that's where hardcore right now is cool and exciting to me, even if you don't subscribe to this other way being okay. It exists. It fucking exists. I don't know what to tell you. Like, there are bands who either fully identify or at least partially identify as a hardcore band who are seeing pretty high levels of success. And they're operating in a different space. And, you know, like, and we see that in different levels. Bands, we see some of the festivals, Sound and Fury, like, insane. Turnstile goes tours the country with Truth Cult in a Kulu opening. And a band like Citizen, who I wouldn't call hardcore, but operates a lot like a hardcore band. You know, it's like, well, it doesn't quack like a duck, but it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck. Mm. So I see all that and I go, okay, things are different now. And the people I see with the loudest voices who are upset about this, one, I think they just don't like Scowl musically. And I think that you should just say that and just say, I don't like your music, so I'm going to shit on you for whatever fucking reason I see. And I'd say, you come off like a fucking shitty old man shouting at the clouds. But you look even worse when you say like, oh man, this just isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's like, you at 45, 42, 39, what would you have thought at 24 doing whatever the fuck it was you were doing if someone who was your age now was saying, you're doing it all wrong, this shit's all fucked up?
We hated those people.
Everyone did. Everyone did. Everyone does. And I am not telling those people not to feel free to express those views. But just understand what that energy comes out like. And in a world that is so attention-centric, putting that out there is so much different than just not saying shit about it and focusing on something you like. Because I think it comes to, I feel it because doing Axe to Grind, we get asked sometimes like, oh, you're not talking about this. And I'm like, sometimes we don't talk about a thing because none of the three of us particularly like it or care about it or feel strongly about it to positively say anything. And what's the best thing you can do to snuff out a fire? Blow on it a bunch? Not really. You just let it fucking die. You just throw some sand on it. You don't talk about it. That's the attention economy. So I don't know. When you hear stuff like this, it's great content, but I largely circle back to the idea of like, I think most of these people just don't like Scowl's music and want to shit on it and say, oh, it's not hardcore. Okay, well, that's an interesting debate. But would you be saying it's not hardcore if you liked it?
Right.
People that like Turnstile considers themselves a hardcore band. So, and they're like the biggest thing going. And people are like, yeah, they still consider themselves a hardcore band. If they were like, came out when they were like, we're just like a funk band or a rock band, people would be like, fuck those dudes. Like, so you can't win.
Yes.
No, you can't win. And if I could make a recommendation to somebody that does dislike Scowl's music and wants to talk about that openly, here's my thing. I think it's fine. If you suck the bitterness out of a thing, you suddenly have a lot more credibility. If I don't like a band with a woman at the center of it, I can say that and nobody says shit to me. And the reason for that is because everybody at this point knows that I wish them the best and I want them to win. You know what I mean? No matter who they are. And when you don't have that, when you look like you want people to lose, people are going to read into your interpretation of things and start thinking it's not about music, think it's about some other shit. So if you don't like Scowl and you just honestly don't like Scowl, that's just, hey, where you're at with this or whatever. Like, there's a way to talk about that where you go, more power to them. I wasn't feeling that new music. And it's fine. Nobody gets on your dick about that shit. If you just say, hey, you know what? They've been working hard and I wish them the best, but that's doo-doo. People go, oh, well, he doesn't seem like he's harboring anything. You know? so that's just some advice. And regarding kind of industry plants, here's a thought for you fellas. When we talk about taking the opportunities presented to us, we're also at all times using the advantages that life has presented us. And this could talk about privilege conversation, right? I don't talk about it on the podcast, but you two know that there's a band that I kind of look at sideways because the some of the fellas are very rich. And
right.
And that is a thing about me that I am trying to
excise from yourself.
Yeah. Because here's the deal. We all have privilege of some type, right? My parents love each other. They never hit each other. That's a privilege. You're that's given me an advantage in life. And you have to acknowledge these things. The older you get, the more you acknowledge kind of like the little things that contributed to like, oh, I'm able to do X because of Y. Oh, okay. I realize that now. And if you come from means, that is just another thing that you can put towards lining up your successes in life. And I don't think that you're I mean, this is also the history of punk in so many ways. I don't think that you're under an obligation to behave as the Buddha and renounce your wealth. I think you can put it towards succeeding at the things that you think are important to you. And if punk music is one of the things that's important to you, more power to you. It's interesting that you chose that over finance or becoming a, but whatever. The point is, we all have these advantages. And if being visually dynamic is, or let's be very honest, or if being a conversation people want to have right now,
right?
If those are things that your band has, again, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put you in a Grimace outfit so that we put your light under a basket. You know what I'm saying? And look, this conversation is independent of whether or not you think those are good reasons to like a band. Like it goes without saying that music press is not the best informed, and they often resort to broad brushes and primary colors. And hey, you will probably like this because of why. You know what I mean? Like, look, woman with green hair, you like. And if you want to say, hey, I don't think that's a good reason to like something, that's fine. But what we can't do, or what makes you look stupid if you is saying, hey, girl that loves green hair, you know, put on this sackcloth. Like, fucking, you're not allowed to do that shit. I just think that that's a fool's errand. If you're doing an honest expression of yourself, and that honest expression falls in with whatever people want to write about or talk about right now, more power to you. You know what I mean? And I say this as a guy who is fundamentally boring to look at. And, you know, it's just all I know is tour, right? But look, if it went the other way, and if suddenly beanstalk gray hair white guys were the fucking thing to put on the front page of Spotify, would I try to hide that in some
look,
way?
Yo, look.
No.
All three hosts of Axe to Grind are ready, willing, and able if our look becomes the new Zoolander feel.
Yes,
we all hit the runway.
Whatever, man.
We're like here. Podcast here. Cool. Yeah, I'm walking the runway. Whatever. We get the call. Like, Tom, Armani needs you. You're gonna walk the runway. We are in. Yo, here's what we owe to each other is the idea of practicing maybe just a little more honesty than we're doing. And so this is what I want to say. If you don't like a band, you can just say, I don't like the band. For what reason? The music. Okay, cool. Scowl? You don't like the music? Okay, cool. I'm willing to have that conversation. Maybe you don't like their influence. There's plenty of bands I don't like. I actually, if you want me to look, speaking plainly, like I did before, the direction they're going with their music is just more interesting to me. Full stop.
You know what I mean?
And it's just more dynamic. And, you know, they're adding some stuff. So full respect from me. I could hear someone who would say, you know what? I liked when they were doing the spazzier, faster kind of like blasting stuff with some, you know, I thought their mosh parts kind of had a locking out thing. And like, I'm like, all right, well, whatever floats. If you don't like them for a lot of other reasons, okay. Okay, cool. You know, like, but when you couch the reason you don't like a thing, it betrays truth in a way that just comes off ugly. You look ugly and small. So I don't know. I don't even, like, can I be honest? I don't even know where the industry plant thing came from, other than Kat saying, hey, I'm seeing people kind of throw us out there as this. If you don't like bands doing corporate stuff, okay, that's,
yeah,
like totally sign fine. Up. There's a big line over at that table. Like, and I think it's smaller now than it has been. But I'll sit at that table. I've been at that table. I get it. I've never been somebody who's like, oh, spit on, I'm not throwing French fries at the other one. But like, you know, I get it. Okay. You don't like your bands to do that. But you also have to acknowledge some of these like hypocrisies just in everything. Yo, our podcast is on Spotify and Apple and almost all the stuff that we talk about with hardcore is distributed through major channels at this point. It just is the way it happens.
Yeah.
Is that the way? I don't know. It is what it is. And acknowledging it and being able to say, hey, look in the mirror if you're going to hold everybody else to a standard that you don't even fit. So shout out. If you're somebody who doesn't eat Taco Bell and you think it's morally corrupt to eat Taco Bell or to be involved with it, bless up, hate away. But
hopefully you had that same energy when Scion was paying everybody money to fly out to play all these shows, bands that you like.
You know, let's talk about the Scion thing really quick. Scion, and this is so fun. I love this shit. I was talking about the Rockstar Games thing. All right. Yeah. Scion, I'm pretty sure, I won't name names because I don't want, but a guy I knew who made the best homemade beef jerky I ever had in my life worked with me at Revelation.
Quite a distinction.
It was really good. Cool. It was like, honestly, like, I think about it anytime I see beef jerky. So he went from working at Rev, and I think he ended up working over there for a while, and he got involved in their marketing area and ended up kind of not being the forefront, but one of the major cogs in making that happen. Was that cool? Was it the right thing to do? Was it not? I have a feeling a lot of bands who got flown all around will tell you, nah, you know what? That made our year. That made it so we could do X, Y, and Z. We could have said no.
To what end?
We wanted to play shows. Yeah, right.
Right. No one bought a fucking Scion because Nails played a show.
No, right.
Let's be honest.
And even if they did, is that a crime against humanity? They were going to buy a vehicle anyway.
That's but right.
Here's my perspective coming from the original fucking sellout, Henry Rollins. It's just another gig, man. It's just another gig. At least at this juncture in my life, that's how I see this shit. Is when people tell me, you shouldn't play that festival, you should play this one, or you shouldn't, but it's just another gig, man. And that's respectful to all the promoters, respectful to everything. But it's like, yo, Raytheon wants to fucking, it's just another fucking gig. Now, here's the thing. I had this conversation with my bandmates the other day. I think I mentioned it on the podcast before I spoke to them. I would not do the Taco Bell thing. Good form.
You wouldn't do the Taco Bell. I thought you said you wouldn't do the Top Golf thing. And I was like, wait, you definitely would do Top Golf.
I would do Top Golf for sure. But the Taco Bell thing, they're not asking. Our band name is Drug Church. But my bandmates said that they would definitely temporarily kick me out. Because my girlfriend has said, listen, we have a family. If you get opportunities like that, you got to take them. And
I'm Patrick from Drug Church and I love Marlboro Reds.
Well, that's the thing is Drug Church recorded a thing for a Pabst thing. Never had a beer in my life, but what I'll say is that to me, the difference would be that that's a personal decision that you can elect to. Whereas cheese is not for the animal. So that's my perspective on that matter.
Are you the only vegan in Drug Charge?
Yeah. Oh, the other guys eat Taco Bell every fucking day of their lives. And when I was like, I was making fun of like, I was like, yeah, you're not going to see me eating a fucking cheesy gordita. And they're like, bro, cheesy gordita is like a top tier. It's like number two or three on the fucking menu.
It's like the number four thing that I like about Taco Bell is how passionate people get about their Taco Bell item of choice. It's fantastic. It's so good. But, like if you start talking to me about what are they, the classic Taco Bell tostada, RIP, I get misty. I'm like, oh man.
Remember what was that? Choco Tacos?
Choco Tacos.
That was a thing on our podcast for like a year.
It sure was.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't claim moral superiority.
That is making me give me fucking motion sickness.
Hey, sorry about that. I don't claim moral superiority over anybody.
I think, well, it's just to say that
we all have feet of clay. Like, you know, we've talked about, should bands take an Amazon thing or should we do an Amazon read on our podcast? Yeah. Yep. And it's like, yo, here's my argument. I've used Amazon 4 times in the last year. Yep. And, again, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pretend not to be, I don't need to be a brand advocate, but if they're going to pay me instead of me paying them, well, frankly, I use the fucking service. You know,
right. So that's the thing. The quote of fucking great band Striking Distance. Where do you draw the line? And I think that's a question. I actually think it's a pretty personal question for a lot of people. And I hope
that's what I was suggesting, is that it's a purely personal question.
That's right. And that's the way I feel about it. And there's some people who don't. There's some people who are like, no, this isn't. That's a different conversation. Happy to have it with somebody. But my big takeaway here is that that there's a lot of these kind of questions that come up with the idea of what hardcore is and what isn't, what it is and isn't sonically, and how that changes over time. And has it been? Is it okay for a band to do this? Is it not? I don't know. Fugazi's on Fox fucking Sunday NFL. What do I tell you? You know, like, is that cool? Is it okay? I have a feeling they probably had a conversation similar to the one we're having, where it's like, do we think this is okay? And, you know, one member of Fugazi raises her hand as a Washington sports fan, is like, yeah, I mean, I watch it every Sunday, so like, I think it's pretty rad. I mean, and who knows what that was? That's actually a fantastic thought and question for some very principled folks, you know.
How do they, certain things get through? Minor Threat was on Entourage.
Right. And we're talking about,
they wouldn't let us, they wouldn't let Indecision use merchandise on a Rev record because Revelation had major label distribution.
Yep. And it's a band who never played a show for more than $5. You know what I mean? And it was like vehement about a lot of things. And like, as I was told once, they were very thoughtful in the way they organized what their band did and how it operated. And I think that's true. So I'd say there was thought given. And I would say give Scowl the respect that they're doing what they want to be doing with their band and with their music and with their art. And you can choose to consume or not consume that in a really easy way. And, you know, I do think it's interesting how close hardcore is flying to the sun in terms of some of this stuff and how popular some of this stuff is or isn't. Guys, Grand Theft Auto, unanimously one of the most popular video games of all time.
Yeah.
Like the series, right? And I've talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, every episode could be someone's first. I worked at Rev when Rockstar Games came knocking, and one guy, this is the impact of one guy. This is what I was saying about the Scion thing. One guy was a big hardcore fan and was like, hey, we want to do like a hardcore punk radio station, and here's the list of bands. And, you know, one person in my life thought that was horrific and thought it was like a terrible idea for any hardcore bands to be involved with this game because they thought Grand Theft Auto was reprehensible. I didn't feel that way. And I thought, I was like, oh, cool. You know what? This is a way to expose a lot of kids to classic hardcore, like stuff I love, the stuff that made an impact on my life.
Right. With Jimmy Gestapo as the DJ.
Yeah. Single biggest entertainment property on the planet.
Right. My buddy was on the video game side.
Hell yeah. Cool. Love it. Love it. And so, go ahead, Pat.
I mean, look, here's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, really quick. I just want to play it. Okay. Yeah. I want to say this. Do you know how much money each band got paid for the use of their song in perpetuity?
$1,000 or
something? Yeah, because Rockstar is famous for being cheap like this. So, yes, I was going to guess less.
$3,500. It was, most of the band said, cool. And you mean my band song is going to be in the, at that moment, the most popular video game, full stop? Awesome. So it's,
you remember which one that was, Bob? I just want, give me a second. I just wanted to see.
Was it San Andreas? It was either San Andreas or Vice City.
Vice City, because Vice City was based on New York, I think.
Okay, yep. Yeah, that makes
sense. No, I think Vice City was Miami.
Vice City was Miami. San Andreas was LA. And what was the New York one?
It might have been five might have been whatever.
Yeah, it was early. It was
I just wanted to see
four,
many.
Four.
Yeah.
God damn it, guys. Five, four, three.
sorry, four. I think it's four. Go on.
The readiness drill, guys. Come on. Yeah, here's old man looking stuff up on a podcast.
Sorry. No, I'm looking.
No, I'm with
I wanted to see how many copies they sold.
Oh, that stuff. I don't even know if they put those. They might give an
estimate. You can get it.
Can you? Okay.
Yeah, that's hold insane. On.
I mean, I'm quite certain five is actually the most sold piece of entertainment.
Isn't that four, wild?
Within 24 hours of its release, Grand Theft Auto 4 sold over 3.6 million copies, equating to approximately $310 million in revenue. After 1 month availability, the game had sold 8.5 million copies. As of July 2013, the game has sold over 25 million copies.
Insane.
I think if that's the one, because it was Liberty City was the fucking...
Liberty City, you're right.
Which
what year is it? 07?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, four. You're right. That's on 2008. Yep, that's it.
$500 million in its first week and fucking, you know, and Gorilla Biscuits got $3,500.
Well, and so I just want to... And maybe that number is not right for everyone. I don't want
maybe to not,
claim
not.
I don't. That's perhaps it is not, but it was not a lot of money in the long term of things. But that's the other side is that I want to say, so we talked about reasons people might be like hating on Scal. One, somebody's got green eyes and wish it was happening to them and it's not. So they're hating on it. One, some reason. Two, they just don't like Scal's music and are using this as a reason to cape it. Three, they think Scal's getting rich off this. And let me just patently say, nope. If they are, bless them. I would bet every dollar in my pocket that that's not what's happening.
I mean, also,
Moby made money.
But here's my point is what's rich also? Like, I don't know if I've ever sent this to you guys. There's I screenshotted it for use in the future. It was a conversation on Twitter where someone said something about, you know, how billionaires shouldn't exist, but we need to start talking about how we frame money because there's a difference between a multimillionaire and your friend making $70,000 a year. And somebody came in and was like, well, for what it's worth, I think your friend making $70,000 a year is a capitalist pig too. And the other person said, oh yeah, for sure. It was people talking about – now, I just want to point this out. In New York City, $70,000, there's many of our friends are living with less than that. But $70,000 in New York City is not an extravagant lifestyle of any type.
And no roommates.
Yeah, you got roommates. And when we're talking about a band making money, I don't know. Like, do people perceive Drug Church to be doing well? Because if that's the case, like, I can assure you that – it's cool. It's not enough to raise a family.
Right.
So my question would be like, what is the limit for you on other, firstly, your pocket watching, which is just a bad habit, but, right. But are you, what is the limit on what your contemporaries in music are allowed to make? Right. Cause like I talk about this often. I have a friend that was in one of the bigger metalcore bands. His best year, he made $80,000. That was a band that was everywhere. That was his best year, $80,000. Now,
and there's a lot of places you can live in the United States and elsewhere.
100%.
Where you can, that's a really nice amount of money. And then there's places where that's not, and even in a place where you're able to own a home on that amount of money, it's not generational wealth.
No, it's also, look, you never know people's circumstances. Let's say that you have sorry everybody, this is nitty gritty, but some of our listeners are older and will probably relate to this. Let's say that you have two children and you're making $75,000 a year, and you now have to do the math. This is adult shit, everybody. You have to do the math on if it makes more sense. Bob, you know a lot about this because you have children. You have to do the math on if it makes more sense for one partner to go back to work and to pay for childcare, or if it actually makes better financial sense for that partner to stay home and take care of those children. Because because the cost of childcare, even in a place like Australia, which sets you up to win in these things, in the United States, it's disgusting. So what I'm saying is, we're doing a couple things here. We're keeping bands in a cycle of permanent adolescence, where at 30, you could not reasonably be in a band and have a family if you play the type of music that like the listeners of this podcast enjoy.
Unless you're willing to strictly make it a once a month endeavor that you don't take serious enough, and you will only get lucky if it moves forward.
Yeah. And look, a lot of our listeners believe that is the natural status of hardcore, and that's good. You know what I mean? And that's sure. That's a fine opinion to have. I'm a person who wants to make as much music and as many things in my life as I can. And I will tell you that we are doing a disservice to the people that play in these bands by basically saying, hey, you have to start your life later if you really love this thing. And if some of you want to see that as a necessary sacrifice, that's fine. In my view, it is an unfortunate thing that we've done where we've convinced people that they have to be poor for longer than they need to be. That's my little soapbox here, everybody.
Yeah, man. All right. So this has essentially been a PSA to the people who are trying to crawl up the skin of Scowl. Look, speak plain. What's the real issue? Because I almost don't believe you that you're this incensed about a Taco Bell commercial. And if you are, let's unpack that a little bit. You know, what is also your limiting belief here?
Maintain that same energy for military gun. Maintain that same energy for turnstile.
Yeah. Maintain it. And I think there are people who are. But then think about that and think about your perspective and relationship to this thing at large, because I see so many people positioning as that's not hardcore. Okay, that's fine. You should feel comfortable thinking that in your head. But where and who granted you, you know, the staff of justice to rule this verdict on everyone else? Because I'll tell you what, I had a conversation with a fellow who made it very clear that he had pretty specific ideas of what was hardcore and what wasn't, that he was not comfortable sharing, because he realized it would place a lot of bands, notable large bands, way outside of those definitions. So think about it.
Yeah. Justice of Trapped Under Ice said it the other day. You don't get to decide for me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to decide what's hardcore for me. Like, it just like that. That's the end of that conversation. So, and you know, I know you were wrapping up, Bob, I apologize, but I was watching a documentary on, this one is going to Tom. Do you remember, Rev's Cost? Do you remember
Of
course. So, Bob, you would immediately recognize it. Yeah, immediately recognize it visually. I don't know if it would jump into your head, though. But just graffiti from 1980s, 1990s, 2000s, whatever.
Oh, and, yeah. No, I know. Yes. I know this.
Yeah. And the one fella, Revs, who I guess – this is bizarre. They say they don't know his identity, but he's been arrested. So, Tom, you're a lawyer. Is there any withholding that information if you've been arrested? I don't think there is.
But I mean, a lot of these guys, from my experience, in the 80s and 90s, several people wrote not Revs necessarily, but like I knew, like there was this very famous graffiti artist in Brooklyn and in my neighborhood that I knew one of the guys who wrote that. Not all of them.
Well,
so they might have gotten to Patrick Hinlan who wrote Revs, but like, you know, the Bob one didn't get caught.
Right.
Well, you know, so, so I did not know that about graffiti until recently, is that they can only jam you up on this, on what they can prove that you did. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't aware of that. I thought they could basically RICO you on all your past shit. But anyway, I thought that the Revs interview that I watched was fascinating because he's a guy who, unlike many of his contemporaries, has refused to sell any of his art. He says that once you transactionize art, it's pap. It's just worthless garbage. Mm. And he's a dude who's chosen to work a day job his entire life instead of trading on his art fame. Now here's the thing. And I love his fucking approach because he just says, listen, I got into punk and skateboarding in 1981. And since then I haven't given a fuck about anything. And that is a type of guy, right? That is the type of guy that I admire.
No question. Yep.
Here's my thing. As much as I admire him, when Taco Bell does a vegan cheese, they're welcome to pay me, $55,000 for the use of my music. And it's a personal matter. Best of luck to Revs and best of luck to Scowl. Yep. it's all a matter of what other people, my whole thing is can't tell no one. You know what I mean? That's just it.
Yo, before we get lost on that, I like closing on that. Tom, there's a show I think I'm coming to. Do we want to talk about this show?
Yeah, of course. So this weekend is the Tribes of the Moon Fest that's happening at Bowery Ballroom, which if you're from New York, punk and hardcore shows don't really happen at Bowery Ballroom
anymore. It's crazy. Sure. Crazy.
It's a wonderful venue. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
But they don't really do hardcore shows. And this is a fucking fully hardcore show. So it's August 19th and 20th. So that's Thursday, Saturday and Sunday in New York City on Delancey Street in the Lower East Side. Adrian, Ballista, Bazooka, Bleed the Pigs, Buggin, Burn, End It, Hide, Karma from Chicago, Knife Wound, Lust Sick Puppy, Move, Playtime, Rebelmatic, Shawty, Soul Glow, Third Face, Truth Cult, who we just talked about, and Zulu, who helped put together the whole thing. There's a 2-day pass for $80 at so it's Bowery Ballroom. If you're here, if you're in New York, you should go. If you're not and you're coming in, there's a ton of stuff around there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're coming in for the show, there's great food and Lower East Side is fucking still pretty fucking cool. For people to just do stuff. Like you could walk 5 blocks in any direction and get literally 10 different cups of coffee and pizza.
You
and
get lost in every, you can't catch anything. It's just, there's so much. Just get lost and enjoy it.
Yeah. It's honestly, shout out to Zulu. I like when bands that are not massive take the time to organize things like this. Do you know what I mean? I think that's cool. I also think while you were given the bands, Tom, how much good hardcore do we have that we're not endlessly talking about End It? Do you know what I mean? Oh. Like we are obviously spoiled. Because when you say End It,
I've talked about them. I mean, they've ended up on me and Bob's like end of the year list and stuff like that. I think for them, honestly, it's just starting.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think that next record is going to be stupid.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny because there's years that we've done the podcast that have been a little bit thinner where we would have been talking about End It every week because it's that good. Mm-hmm. But right now we've got enough good stuff to talk about.
Yo, and shout out to them putting on a good mix of bands and different stuff. I think the band Playtime.
Burn,
yeah, awesome. Love it. Playtime from Atlanta area is awesome. I love that band. So, shout out to that show. Shout out to this. Everybody, final closing note. If you don't like the Taco Bell commercial music of the hardcore world, there's a lot of other stuff. Just dig around. Yeah. Listen to some of the past episodes. We talked a lot about it. We're going to do this. You know what we're going to do? I'm teasing this for if not next week, the week after. 31 flavors. We're doing the Baskin Robbins 2023 of Hardcore because I am almost certain if we made a subgenre list, we could give you some things to check out right now, current bands, and you will enjoy it. So check it out soon. Stop recording.
Oh, geez.